Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Notice this here in Genesis. I want to look at a type and shadow of us today here in the life of Adam and Eve. Some things we can learn. Old Testament has many what we call types and shadows of what is to be, what we have in Christ Jesus today. And over here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed," everybody say formed, "formed man of the dust of the ground, and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And then you jump down to verse 18, and it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And then verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." Notice that it says he made into a woman. My margin actually says for that word made, built. So he built a woman for Adam. Now, you go over to the New Testament, and Jesus is referred to as the last Adam. So this Adam is the first Adam. Jesus is referred to in 2 Corinthians as the last Adam. In other words, Adam is a type of he who is to come, Jesus. Adam, how many people know, was the son of God? He was. When you read the genealogy over in Luke's gospel, it actually goes all the way back to Adam, and it says the son of God. Adam is referred to as the son of God. Jesus is the son of God. So Adam is a type of he who is to come. The only difference is Adam, he fell into sin. Jesus, though tempted at all points, was without sin. He never sinned. He did what the first Adam failed to do: live a sin-free life and overcome the temptations of the devil. So he is the second Adam. And then, notice, God builds a woman for Adam. He builds a woman for Adam. Well, how is that a type? If Adam is a type of Jesus, then who's this woman a type of? The woman, Eve, is a type of the church, because the church is also referred to as the bride of Christ. We are his bride. God is building a woman for his son, Jesus. And it's you and I. I said it's you and I. God is building a woman, and it is the church. It is made up of believers. And so even as an individual, you women, you are sons of God. You men, you are the bride of Christ. There's neither male nor female in the spirit, the Bible tells us. You are to be the bride of Christ. That's who you're to be. And notice, God formed the man, and then he put the man to sleep, built a woman, and brought her to the man. Brought the woman to the man whom he had formed. Well, notice what it says over in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 19, it says, "My little children," talking to the church, "I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Adam was formed, wasn't he? He's the type of Jesus who is Christ. Here the Bible uses that same word concerning Christ, that he too is being formed. Where is he being formed? In you. Christ is being formed in you. Where in you? In your spirit. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, Christ comes to live on the inside of you, and he is being formed in you. He's being formed in you. And you have your own soul, your own personality, your own feelings, your own emotions, your own will. You have your own will. You're your own person. You have a free will. You can make right choices. You can make wrong choices. You are not a robot. You are not totally controlled by God. Not everything that happens is because of God. Not whatever happens is the will of God. You have your own will. And there's a lot of things happening in people's lives that have nothing to do with God. Nothing. Nothing. God is not a part of it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. It's completely contrary to him. Because people have their own will. So you are your own individual. And now through the new birth, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. And you are to be the bride of Christ who is in you. In other words, your soul, your will, your personality is to become one in marriage with Christ, who's being formed with you in your spirit, formed in you in your spirit. Your soul and Christ are to become one together in marriage, united together. You say, "What isn't that what has already happened?" No. If you've been born again, he's in your spirit. But now we got to bring our soul. We got to bring our soul into that place where Christ is in our spirit. See, our souls still need salvation. Our souls still need to be saved. Our will, our emotions, daily, regularly. Jesus himself, when he was here on the earth, he had to say, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." He had to consecrate himself daily to the will of the Father. That was a continuous thing. He prayed that prayer 3 times in the garden before going to the cross. "Father, not my will, my will." See, Jesus had his own will that was independent of the Father. His own will, his own personality, his own feelings, his own desires. And he said, "But nevertheless, not mine, but yours." And he kept his soul surrendered and yielded to the spirit of his Father that was in him. You and I are to do the same thing. We don't want our souls to be living independently of our spirit. When you do, that's when the things of the spirit grow faintly dim. And the soul is out here, and we're getting up, and we're going, and we stir ourselves up to do our thing, and we throw a little Shandai in there, and we throw a little Jesus in there, and some scripture in there, but primarily, we're just going and operating in the soul, and not living life as a married couple. Married, submitted, united to the Lord. To Christ, to the spirit that is in us. We're not to be running around living in the soul independently of him. We're to live in harmony with him, in unity with him, in unity with soul and spirit, in unity in Christ. You came out of him, and now he wants to bring you to him, to Christ, just like he did with Adam. He wants to move you. He wants to move your soul, the you part of you. He wants to move you into him who is in you, in your spirit, who is being formed in you. And who's doing that? The anointing, the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing, the Holy Spirit. Who brought the woman to the man? See, the woman didn't just find the man. Someone brought the woman to the man. And Jesus said, nobody comes to the Son unless the Father who sent him draws him. How does he draw us? By the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit goes out and he draws us to the Son. He wants to draw you to the Son. You say, I've already come to the Son. I've been born again. I made Jesus the Lord of your life. That's great. And now he's on the inside of you, being formed in you. But now you, the soul man, needs to come to Christ and now live in harmony with him. Otherwise, you're living a carnal life. You're just living a life out of your soul, out of your own will, out of your own thinking, out of your own reasoning, out of your own emotions. Everything's just you, and your emotions are connected to the world. And so whatever's going on in the world, if something good or funny happens, you're up. And if something bad happens, you're down. And you're just like this, and you're just following the wave of the sea. You know, you're just following the waves of the world, going up and down, going up and down. God don't want you to. He don't want your soul connecting to and expressing the world. That's spiritual adultery. That's cheating on him. You belong to him. You're to be married to him. But when our soul is just connected with the world and we're responding and yielding to what's happening out here in the flesh, then we're neglecting him. Worse than that, we're cheating on him. We're cheating on him. We're putting something else ahead of him. We're connecting with something else, with our emotions and our feelings other than him. But when you're connected with him, you'll find that no matter what the world is doing, you're just right there with Jesus. And he's your joy, and he's your peace, and you're settled in him, and you're happy with him, and you can see things happening that are threatening and bad, but you walk by faith, not by sight. Your soul is all bound up in him, and he's the Prince of Peace. He is your confidence, and you know that with him, hallelujah, is your protector. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You know it's going to be all right. Because you're in him, in his embrace. He's holding you, Jesus, your Savior, Christ. Can you say amen? Yeah. So we don't want to be cheating on him. We don't want to be flirting with the world and playing around with the world. We want our souls to be brought to him, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He brings the woman to the man. He brings you and I. He brings you to Christ. Where's Christ? In heaven? He's in you. He's in you. He's bringing you to him. He's bringing your soul into line with Christ who is in you. So that now Christ in you is expressing himself through you. Just like we see this with Adam and Eve, there's another type and shadow of this with Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, and his wife, Rebekah. So let's go to Genesis chapter 24. Are you going to let him bring you to Christ? Are you going to let the Holy Spirit bring your soul? That's you. That's your will, your personality, okay? Your emotions. That's you. You're going to let the Holy Spirit bring your will, your emotions, your personality over into a place where it is one with and yielded to, submitted to Christ. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just come upon us and we experience him for a little while. He comes upon us and he moves in our life, and it's to get us to a place where our souls are yielding to Christ. Our souls are yielding to him. See, he's building and working on us. He's building and working on us and ultimately bringing us to that place where our soul, our will, our emotions are surrendered to Christ. And Christ is now having expression through our life continuously. continuously. So thank God for Holy Spirit meetings. Thank God for church services where the Spirit of God can come and he moves in our life and he's working on us and he's building us and he's drawing us and he's walking us and we're learning to yield and cooperate and to yield our soul and our will and our emotions over to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit's bringing us closer and closer to living with Christ. Living in that place called the Spirit. Living in him, one with him, all the time. All the time. So it's not just an experience, it's a continual happening. The Bible refers to it as abiding in him. Abiding in him. We want to abide in him. That means to remain in him. Just remain in him. Literally, when you look it up, it means that word abide, it means to remain in a continual state of expectation. Just always expecting, always looking to him. See? And see what's going to happen. We're going to be steady because he's steady. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so we're going to be steady all the time. We're going to have peace all the time. We're going to have joy all the time. Even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of tribulation, there's joy. There's joy. Because our joy is not based on the changing world around us, the circumstances around us. It's built on him. And we're being united to him. Right? Being united to him. And then there's no affairs, there's no cheating, there's no flirting, there's no leaving and going back to the world. We don't want to go back to the world. We want to stay united in marriage to Jesus. Married to Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm hearing wedding bells ring. Hallelujah. It's time to get married to Jesus, somebody. Genesis 24, let's look at another example of this. Genesis 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I'll make you swear by the Lord that God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac." Now here, Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of Jesus, the Son of God. Isaac is the son of Abraham. And Abraham's a type of God. Isaac here is a type of Jesus. God, Abraham, says to his servant, "Go get a wife for my son." Who do you think this servant might be? A type of? His servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly right. Verse 5. And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me." That's interesting. Who's the woman a type of? The church. Perhaps the woman isn't going to be willing to follow me. Happy we know we got to follow the Holy Spirit. We got to yield to him, follow him, cooperate with him. He says, "Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? Should I bring Jesus down from heaven to the earth?" Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there." Now, a scripture comes to mind. If you hold your place there, I'll flip over to it really quickly, or I'll just go there real quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6, it says, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above." Do not say, "Let's bring Christ down from above." Or, "Who will descend into the abyss?" That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. Where is Christ? Christ, who is the word, is in you. Say, Christ in me. All right. So Christ is in you. So notice, Abraham says to his servant, verse 6, but Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Bring Christ down from above. It's not about bringing Christ down from above. We don't say, oh God, come down. Oh God, come down and rescue me. Oh God, come down and help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're looking in the wrong direction. If you've been born again, Christ in you. Stop looking for him to come back to rescue you. And learn to yield and follow the Holy Spirit to him. Follow the Holy Spirit to him. Don't look for him to come back down here to you. Come on, somebody. Verse 8. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. For all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened before he had finished speaking that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on the shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And notice, here's this well. Well, the Bible says over in Isaiah that we shall draw water from the wells of salvation. The wells of what? The wells of salvation. That's where we draw water from. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit meets us by the well, and he brings us salvation. That's what this is a type of. And so it's out of this well of salvation. It's in this place where the Holy Spirit wants to meet the bride of Christ and bring her to Christ. Bring her to. In other words, we don't just stop with being born again. It's only just begun. I said it's only just begun. That's the meeting place with the Holy Spirit. That's when we meet. When we get born again and we find salvation, that's when we meet with the Holy Spirit. And Christ is formed in us. He's being prepared in us. And now God's preparing our soul as he's preparing Christ in us to come together. And so what ends up happening here is the woman ends up going with the servant. She follows him. And he brings her to Isaac. Just like he's doing with you and I. Bringing us to Jesus. God is bringing us to Jesus. God is preparing a bride for Christ. This is a powerful thing. He's prepared us for marriage with him. In fact, natural earthly marriage is just a type and a shadow of our marriage with the Lord. Real marriage is with Jesus. That's the real deal. That's the most important marriage. That's the one that fulfills. That's the one you were created for. When folks go to heaven, Jesus said they neither marry nor are they given in marriage. Marriage is not an issue in heaven, because once we're there, it's done. It's all about him. I said it's all about him. So marriage here on the earth is just a type. Again, it's a type. It's to be a picture of our union with the Lord. That's why if you look back again at Genesis, after Eve was brought to Adam, Adam made this statement. In chapter 2, verse 23, Adam said concerning the woman, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Notice that. She is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Then you come over to Ephesians in the New Testament where it's talking about a marriage between a husband and wife. And notice what it says here in chapter 5, Ephesians 5, and in verse 30. It says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Who's it talking about? Talking about Christ Jesus. That's who it's talking about. And it says, we're members of what? Of his body. Of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. And then he goes on in verse 31, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." See, that's what it's really all about. Whenever you see a wedding going on, whenever you see somebody getting married, you need to look and go, "I know what this is all about. This is a reminder to me that I am to be married to Christ." And we're just dreaming about our wedding day. We're dreaming about being with him. We're just dreaming about being joined to him. That's what a wedding should remind us of. Hopefully after today, it's exactly how we'll think. When we hear wedding bells and you see folks getting married, you look and think, "Me and Jesus. Me and Christ. That's what I've been created for, to be married to him, to be united to him, to be one with him, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, one with him, in unity with him, my soul completely submitted and surrendered to him, and he's the head of this household. He's the head of my thought life. He's the head of what I do in life. He's the head. He's the leader. I follow him. I yield to him. He and I are one." And so when we're going down the road and we're going through life, it's just him and I together, one together, in marriage. Holy matrimony. Totally married to him. Well, then you got to be like Rebecca. You got to be willing to follow. And you think about her, I mean, she was going somewhere she had never been before. This was completely new terrain for her. She didn't know this servant, who he was. She didn't even know what Isaac looked like. I mean, that could be scary. She didn't know, she'd never seen him before. Didn't see him. Just like you and I, we don't see him. We don't see Jesus. We don't see him, but we follow the Holy Spirit. And he takes us, and as we follow him, we don't know exactly where we're going. We just trust him. She just got on the camels, Rebecca did, and she just followed. She followed. She didn't know where she was going. She didn't know what it was going to look like when she got there. But this woman had faith. I said, this woman had faith. And so she just went right with him, came to Isaac. And that's what you and I are doing right now. Cooperating and following the Holy Spirit. We're not going to put the brakes on and say, no, I've never been there. I've never seen that before. I've never done that before. That's kind of strange. That's kind of weird. I'm not going to do that. That's unfamiliar to me. She didn't do that. Why? Because something on the inside of her stirred her. She had faith. God had touched her and prepared her heart, and she was sensitive. She was sensitive to the will of God for her life, and she went with it, even though it went against her reasoning. Went against her natural reasoning, but she went with the servant. Is anybody going to go with the servant? You got to go with the servant. Hallelujah. You got to go with the servant. You got to go with that anointing. You got to follow him because he wants to take you there. See, we don't want to just continue courting the Lord. A lot of folks are just, they're courting. And what is that? They're just staying in the outer court of their life. What is that? That's the soul. You know, the temple in the Old Testament was made up of three areas. There was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, that's where the glory of God was. That's where they kept the ark. And the high priest could only go in there once a year. It was a holy, holy place. But then there was that outer court. And see, you and I are a triune being. We're made up of three parts. We've got the outer court, which is our body. We got the inner, which is our soul. And then we got the Holy of Holies, where Christ is, and that's our spirit. And if you're just courting Christ, then you're living your life out here in the flesh. Out here in the outer court. He doesn't want you to just court him, living your life in the flesh in the outer court. He wants you to follow the Holy Ghost and go to the inner court, into the Holy of Holies, and live your life in there married to Christ. So thank God for the well, but let's go on in. Let's go on into marriage with the Lord. Let's be like Eve. Let's just follow him. Let's be like Rebecca. Let's just follow him. Let's just follow the servant of the Lord as he takes us into the Holy of Holies, where we can live and abide in absolute fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, 24/7. It doesn't matter what's going on around us, hallelujah. We can live in this place of peace and joy in his presence in Christ Jesus, in union with him. No longer departing from him and living for the things of this world. Fully surrendered, fully submitted to him. God is not just looking for children. God is looking for a bride for his son. Some people are children of God and they're happy with just being children of God. And thank God for it. But friend, I want all that I've been created for. I want that marriage. I want to be married to Jesus. I want to have a marriage relationship with Jesus. Thank God, God's our Father. But Jesus, our husband, one with him. That means there's nothing he will withhold from you. There's nothing he won't show you. We can be close to him like John was, leaning on his breast, hearing from him. Can you say amen? Are you ready to go in further today? Are you sure? Well, stand on your feet then. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to receive this word, believe this word, say a couple things, and then, by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lay hands on folks. And as I lay hands on people, the Spirit of God, through the servant, working through me, the Holy Spirit and I are the servant that is going to help bring you further in to Christ. Further into the Spirit. Come on, get your soul more intimately connected to him. Your will, your emotions, your personality more intimately connected to him in this spiritual marriage that he has for us. And there's an anointing to do it. That's just what he said. I'm just following him, and you're going to follow. You're going to follow me as I follow him. To the Holy of Holies. Get your soul in there. Which means what? Which means you've got to yield your soul. Yield your soul to the Holy Spirit. Yield your will. Yield your emotions. Yield your personality. And follow him. And we're going to go in deeper. That's why you got to have these kinds of experiences. You got people, they're so heady. Everything's so heady. And there's no anointing. There's no hands laying on people. There's no moving of the Holy Spirit. It's just teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me. And they're as good as dead spiritually. As good as dead. You know, if a person's going to lie there in a coma, you could put them right next to a dead person and you wouldn't know which one. You know, you have to get real close or something to figure out which one's the dead one. Too many Christians are comatose spiritually. That's why he cries out in Ephesians, awake, 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 talking to the church, wake up, snap out of it. There's more than just teaching, teaching, teaching. People be just, there's some folks be happy, just teach me a good word and I'll leave. But oh, that hand's laying on, anointing and all that emotion and all, no, 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 go drown in the well. Let's say this together. Say, Heavenly Father, Thank you for building me. Building me up spiritually. Preparing me to be the bride of Christ. Christ is in me. Help me to yield. Submit my will, my emotions, my personality, my wants, my desires. Help me to submit them, to surrender them to Christ, and that I would live my life in the Spirit, in unity, in Him, with Him, for all eternity, from this day forward. Help me to remain in the Spirit, to abide there, so that the things of this world go strangely dim, but the things of the Spirit become more real, more vibrant, more alive to me all the time. And as it does, my faith grows to believe for bigger and greater, and to believe for even the impossible to be possible in my life. Oh, help me, Lord. Touch my soul. Touch my mind. Quicken my body. Draw me. Awaken me. Arise in me, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up. I want to live a Spirit-filled life. I want to live a Spirit-filled life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.